Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the program. Welcome to Off the Rails. I feel like we haven't done the show in fucking forever.
It does feel like that.
With myself, Anna, and Blitzy Boy.
Yeah, Blitzy Boy.
You know when shit comes out of your mouth and you're just like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
Why did I say that? I would never say that. That's not even something that I say. I don't have a pet name for you. I don't have pet names for anybody unless they're insults, unless they're racial slurs. You know, maybe I'll call you, you know, something like that, something fun, something cool, but I don't call anyone Blitzy Boy. And it's one of those things where...
You actually have a few pet names for me, but...
I do?
Yeah.
Does one start with an F? Never mind.
I mean, not that I know. Not in front of my face, it doesn't.
But it's one of those things where you just kind of have to commit to it, and you go, why did I say that? And then you go, yeah, Blitzy Boy,
of course, you know? Of course.
But then in my head, I'm like, what the fuck, Anna? Why did you end the show like that? You buried yourself. Thank God we're out of time. Let's get the fuck out of here. Sorry we're starting a little late. I did have to break my 18 and a half hour fast. Don't worry, I'm not going to start talking about it again. I have a new thing that I'm into. Intermittent fasting is done. I'm still doing it, but it's
not done.
I'm not doing it anymore, but that's really taken a backseat to my new thing, which I will get into. And now I'm forcing you all to get into so that we can talk about it together.
Oh, because
that's
no.
what I do. That's I was talking
that's
about
your
this
new
yesterday
CrossFit this week
with Will yesterday. Whenever I have a new thing, whether it's a Rubik's Cube or intermittent fasting or whatever. Whatever the flavor of the week is, and I go all in, everybody else needs to go all in with me. Otherwise, I get very angry.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have to do this together so I can talk about it.
Well, there's also a real reason why you were late today. How dare you be so late?
Couldn't get
in the studio.
I could. Right. Yes, because Bubba was doing a recording. I guess he had a commercial he had to do.
He had a few commercials to cut.
We didn't talk about this at all. And if you need to cut me down or shut me down, that's no problem. But I know Bubba had a big meeting yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Did it go well or no?
It did, but we can't talk anything about it.
Okay. Yeah. But it went well? That's all I need to know.
It did.
Very good. Very good. 813-90 Bubba. I almost gave my own phone number away in my head. I almost started saying 760. And then I'm like, Anna, that's your personal number. Please don't give that out of the
air.
Yeah. It's Friday. Yesterday was, I was going to try to force a workout, but you're like, why do that? And you were so right. I went home, I slept, I just let myself, you know, rest and bleed. That's what you got to do sometimes.
Yeah, you didn't look like you were in the workout mode. Like, had you went there, you'd have been fine. You would have worked out just fine, but like, you looked like you needed a rest.
Here's the thing, though. With me and working out, 90% of the time I want to do it.
Of course.
And the 10% that I don't, sometimes I allow myself to just not hate my life, because when you really, really don't want to do it and you try to force it, sometimes that can backfire. Most of the time you're like, oh, I'm so glad I went, or I feel good. But every once in a while, your body just needs a fucking break.
Yeah, there's some people that just never want to go to the gym. But you're not that person.
Right, exactly.
So when you do say, hey, I don't want to go.
I listen.
Yeah,
right.
Then don't go.
But then there are some, and I was thinking about that. I'm like, yeah, if you don't want to go, don't go. But I'm like, Anna, you're the type of person where 90% of the time you want to go.
Yeah.
Or you're excited, or maybe you're not looking forward to it, but like you committed to it, your body wants to do it, maybe you just don't have the, maybe you're just a little bit tired or something. But yesterday I felt achy, I just felt like shit, so I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, God, there's a few things that I really want to talk about, but I can't.
Oh.
I can't do it.
That sucks.
Mm-hmm. It's one of those things where, don't dare me. It's one of those things, and I'm going to talk about this in a broader context. I really can't talk about what I want to talk about, but, you know, I chose radio. The people
radio
around me didn't.
Choose you.
Yeah. No, the people around me didn't, is what I'm going to say.
Sure.
But the people around me are often fodder for my content. As is with everything, because you live a life, and that life involves other people,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes some of their private information,
mm-hmm.
and you can't tell,
because
you said you wouldn't, and it's one of those things where I could conceal some details about their identity,
sure.
But I feel like as dumb as I think you are, the people listening, I don't think you're just ignorant hicks. I would never say that. I would never say that.
Right.
But you would probably figure out. You'd, mm-hmm. you'd put it together and you go, Anna has friends. She doesn't have any friends.
Right.
And didn't you say this about it? And then a few dots and then...
It's pretty obvious.
I always try to, you know, conceal it, but people will DM me sometimes and be like, are you talking about so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I block those people. So that's pretty much your answer.
Right. I was wondering.
People have asked me that before. When I was talking about my friend who is a very much a free spirit and likes to dance just wherever and whenever.
Mm-hmm.
On camera, TikTok, YouTube, Instagram.
MySpace.
Yes. And when I was talking about this person, thinking I was being all slick, there were some, you know, OG Anna fans from back in the Bone days,
mm-hmm.
that follow me onto, you know, with Bubba.
Sure.
They're like, are you talking about so-and-so? And I'm like, what?
Well, I mean, if they listen yeah. to one of the parts of the stories, probably couldn't tell. But you've said it enough times that you can, like, add it up. And
you can put it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can take their phone number and put it into Facebook and see what you find.
Did you know you could do that?
No, I had no idea.
It's crazy. But yeah, so I desperately want to talk about, there's actually a few things, some personal, some business and otherwise, but it's one of those things where people ask you not to tell. And mm-hmm. listen, I'm going to be very honest. I love gossiping. It's one of my favorite things. I feel like everybody enjoys getting dirt on other people.
Yeah.
It's fun to see drama unfold from a distance, but also, like, here's the thing. It has to be close enough where you got a little skin in the game, but not too close that it hurts you.
Of course.
Like, maybe it's affecting someone that you really care about it, or someone you know really well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I can't believe. Like, if it's too far removed, it's like, who cares?
Sure.
But then if it's just close enough, like that sweet spot, that bliss point, where it's just like, it's right there, and you just go, God, you're right there. And you really want to talk about it, but you can't. Because you said you want it.
Especially if it's dirt about someone that you don't like and that, like, it's bad dirt on them.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of that, too. That's a separate thing.
Oh.
I don't think you know about that.
Well, thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is, like, I was asked not to tell. And then in the moment,
Blitzy Boy, though. Come on.
Here's the thing. In the moment when someone asks you not to tell and it's something kind of juicy, it's almost like torture. Like, you'll agree to anything to get that information.
Yeah.
They're like, don't tell this person. And you, yes, yeah, whatever, you just tell me.
Yeah.
You can trust me. But then
later,
once you have the information, I don't know how it is for you or other people,
mm-hmm.
but because I'm a piece of shit. So that, I think like a piece of shit.
Oh.
But once I have the information and then I leave, you know, I'm not talking mm-hmm. to that person anymore. And then the information is like, it needs to come out, like the pus in my finger.
Yeah.
It starts to put pressure on my soul.
It does.
And I'm like, I need to tell people.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to be the deliverer of the news. Like, I can't go back and call the person and just talk about it some more. That's just not satisfying.
No.
Because why would I be telling the teller?
Yeah,
I need to spread this, like COVID, like Omicron. I need to spread this so that other people know.
You mean Omicron?
Oh, is that what you said?
No, that's what other people have said here.
Yeah. Oh, right.
And then, like, if you have repeated that,
then they say
you're the dumb one because...
Yeah. Honestly, I was... Never mind. I was talking with someone else yesterday, and they were saying it weird, and I didn't want to correct them.
Yeah.
I also had another person recently in my life, very close friend, said archive the other day.
Oh.
And my ears, like, perked up. Because I had a situation, I used to work at Horn Blasters, and there was a girl there. I don't even remember her fucking name. Her name was Michaela, actually.
Oh.
And she would say, you know, she needed to archive the orders.
Mm.
Huh? What? And then in an effort to make her feel better about her saying archive dumb, I started saying archive to make her feel. So I've dumbed myself down.
Oh.
To make her feel better. And then I started saying archive like a dumb person.
I have no idea how that works.
Right. Ron
I go out into the wild and I say all kinds of fucked up weird shit. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like,
I know.
Oh, well, it makes sense where I work at.
Right. I'm like, you know, amateur works. And here, I'm like, fuck. I said that at Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu the other day.
Yeah.
Because we're doing they have a Christmas party.
Okay.
And it's across the street from amateur works.
Right.
Idiot. I do want to get into something about that, but first I need to backtrack into, you know, holding secrets.
Mm-hmm.
You'll say anything. I will say fucking anything if you say, I got to tell you something, but, and then they give you the stipulations.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, but I will only tell you under these conditions. You can't tell so-and-so. It was to the point where the information I got yesterday, they said, please don't tell, but you probably will. Like,
they know you well enough.
Right. They do. They know me. Hey, please don't tell, even though I know you probably will. I'm like,
yeah,
I probably will. And I was even, we were, you know, I had my food over there and I'm thinking in my head, this person is expecting me to say this. I'm not going to say it. Even though this person thought I would say it.
Wow. They mind effed you.
They did. So I didn't say anything, but I wanted to. I was thinking about it the whole time.
Hmm.
But yeah, so then the information is inside of you. And then you, I don't know about everybody else, but like secrets, they're painful. I need to tell someone. I need to let it out. You know? It's like colon blows. I need to get it out. Otherwise, I'm constipated.
Okay.
Does anyone else feel this way? What is it? Is it just me or what is in it where, here's the thing, you're excited because you have information and it's something about someone you both know.
Because telling secrets is a way to bond with somebody.
I know that, but it's not even like it's not just the bonding, it's the delivering. No. It's the initial like, you want to shock somebody.
Yeah.
Because that's fun. And then when you discuss it, that's when you're bonding. You're like, oh, what a piece of shit, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. But the actual person who delivers the news and then the reaction you get from that other person it's like a drug for me. I love it. I love being the teller, the deliverer of information. Mm-hmm. You know, when I get information and I tell people around here,
right?
You know, about stuff that I know that I have knowledge that I'm privy to because of my unique situation with where I used to work, whatever.
Because you're Jewish.
Because I'm a Jew.
Yeah.
So I just, I need to tell. It's not good for my health. But then I think, Anna, this is something that this is a character flaw that you have. I mean, and I have one, maybe two. Tops.
Oh, well, one of them must be you can't fucking do math.
Three.
Yeah.
No, but this is, what do they have? Like, not the seven, is it the seven deadly sins? It's like pride. Like, I don't have a problem with that. I have horrible self-esteem. You know, gluttonous, sometimes sloth. All right. But is there anyone that's associated with gossiping?
Me?
No, the seven deadly sins.
I don't know.
Do you need a break? Do you need to look at
No, we're good.
Okay. I need to look up the seven deadly sins really quick. Hold on. Let's see here. Do we know what they are? Let's see. Wikipedia. Okay, hang tight, guys. We're getting there. Okay, lust, gluttony, greed. Let's see. Lust. No, we're fine. Gluttony, sometimes. Greed, who doesn't? Sloth, wrath, envy, pride. Where does gossip come in when you start talking shit? Isn't that a seven part of the seven deadly sins? What would that be under?
I'm reading about them now.
You don't know?
Mm.
All right. Well, that's probably my biggest flaw is that, well, I got a few, but that's probably one of the major ones is once I get information about people that I know, I need to find someone that I'm like a virus. I need a host to infect so that you have the information and then the burden of keeping it to yourself is now on you because I had to let it out.
Maybe it's sloth.
Why would it be sloth?
Oh.
That's just like laziness. That's not being a gossipy bitch is literally the opposite of laziness. You want to run your mouth.
It's a jumble of notions dating from antiquity, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, no. All right, so back to, let's talk about Brazilian jiu-jitsu for a second here.
Okay.
Been doing it for a few months. I really fucking love it. To me, it's weird because, like, obviously it's a sport,
okay.
Duh. But the thing that's funny to me is that, and probably wrestling the same way, is if it were in any other context, it would be really homoerotic. Because there's guys touching each other, pelvis to pelvis.
Sure.
You know, I mean, we did a move on Wednesday where, you know, you had a guy's head and he's like, you literally want to lunge with your groin into the back of his head.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like forced oral copulation,
okay.
Except his face, his head was turned the other way.
Okay.
But had his face been, you know, towards that person's genitals, it would have looked like he was
face fucking. Oh, I mean, yeah.
And in any other context, it would seem very odd. But no one even bats an eye when you're doing it for the sake of sport. No big deal. No problem. I had to roll for we had a substitute teacher,
I
had to roll for 30 seconds with a male. I was trying to avoid that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm going to ask my professor. We call it, the instructor. At a certain point, I feel like I'm pretty helpless if I'm in certain positions. Like if a guy is sitting like mounted on top of me, like his legs are over me, and I'm just like a dead person on the ground. I mean, I tried. There was just nothing I could do to get out of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he would have to move at some point. But it was just funny because I think at the end of it, I said something along the lines of, like, and he made me tap twice in, like, 30 seconds. Like, it was ridiculous.
Right.
But then you just kind of go, well, biological differences, you know, clearly.
Yeah.
And he wasn't, like, a huge guy or anything, but he's a man.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a lot more muscle mass than I do. And especially when I started on the bottom, like, I started in the submissive position. There's just, like, no way.
Right.
Even when I started on top, he still somehow finagled me where I was fucked. And not in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, so we have there's like an annual Christmas party, and I'm going to it next Saturday. And I was talking about it with my girlfriends, because there's like three or four of us that were kind of like sister girls. And one of the girls says, I'm not going. I'm like, why? It's free. And there's going to be booze and food and whatever.
Right.
And you get to just meet people. And she goes, nah, I don't drink. Now, in that moment, I immediately wanted to ask why.
Right.
Because there's always a story behind someone that doesn't drink. Because there's nobody that I know that just doesn't drink and they didn't go to rehab.
Right,
or dad was an alcoholic.
Some kind of like trauma or...
Yeah, you used to drink a lot, or it destroyed your mother's life, or dad's in jail, or dad died of liver cirrhosis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's always a story behind it. People just don't not drink for... no reason, which is funny because like
there's a few, but it's rare.
It's rare, but people will say something kind of lame, like, I don't like the way it makes me feel.
Right.
I don't like not being in control. That seems insane to me when people say that, because, and I hear that a lot when people talk about drugs, and not that I'm like a drug connoisseur. And I know you guys think I'm just like a fucking addict, especially if you listen to Kevin's Law.
Right. Or any other show.
Or any other show. You just think I'm doing blow every fucking weekend and doing all the Molly and going to all
every
the raves.
Every other weekend. Come on.
Yeah, but I really don't. But part of the fun is escaping reality and escaping sobriety for just a few brief moments, you know? It's kind of nice to get out of your own head and experience a different type of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people will say, especially people who've never tried it, they're like, I don't like not being in control. It's like, no, you're actually just a pussy.
Okay.
I mean, when I say if you tried a little of this, it's not like you're going to totally black out and wake up under a ditch or in a ditch. Like, what the fuck? It's not just how it works. You know, you try a little, you see how it feels. If you like the feeling, you continue to take more. If you don't, you kind of back off with it. I don't know. But I don't buy this. I don't like not being in control. It's like, yeah, no one likes to be completely out of sync with their body and throwing up and doing crazy shit or not remembering. That's never the goal. Sometimes that happens, though. Have you ever drank so much that, like, you made yourself sick or no?
Made myself, like, puking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when you were... I feel like you never really drank heavily.
No, but
even
I mean,
as
I
a
have.
Kid. Okay.
Like, in high school, I did a little bit, but not... Like, it wasn't, like, all the time, but yeah.
I wouldn't know what that was like. I don't think I ever even went to a party in high school.
I didn't go to many parties, but, like, we would go with a bunch of friends, like, on a golf course at night and terrorize the golf course and drink. Yeah.
Yeah, I never... I had one... I think I had a shot of, like, apple pucker after prom one time.
Oh, damn.
And I was like, if that is alcohol, no thank you. Mm-hmm. That is disgusting. And then I remember I went to college, and I started smoking weed, you know, because I smoked weed, like, twice before college, so I was basically a stoner.
Yeah, you're a fucking pothead.
I was a pothead. So I'm like, no, I don't drink. I just smoke. So I thought I was a stoner, but then I actually tried alcohol again and I'm like, oh, this is way better. This is way more fun. I don't know if you knew, but in high school I thought I was a hippie.
Oh.
Cause I wore a hemp necklace and I went to like do you call it a head shop? I always feel.
That's what they used to be called.
Yeah. There was a place where they had like incense and salvia.
Oh, yeah.
And just sage.
They had water pipes.
Water pipes, right. And they would sell like either like leather goods or like hippie
stupid
satchels.
Stupid handbags and
handbags,
shit.
Handbags, right.
Made out of hemp that no one fucking wanted.
Yeah, well, I did. And I bought a few.
They thought they did.
Yeah.
You thought you wanted
and
it.
And I remember I saw this one had like a baby hole in it. And I'm like, fuck, I'll. And it was obviously on clearance or sale because I had a hole in it. So I just patched it myself. And I'm like, God, I'm so cool. You know, shop. That's when like thrift shopping was cool. Now it's, I mean, I no, thank you. But at the time it was cool.
When was thrift shopping cool?
I don't know. I was told that it was cool. Oh, I got this from a thrift shop. It's like secondhand and it's everything like vintage was like suddenly cool.
Oh, okay.
Like it was cool, but it had to be like 15 years out, you know, like this is from like 85 or whatever, you know, then it was cool again. Somehow it resurfaced as being cool. But I thought I was, you know, like a hippie and stuff. Mm-hmm. And my dad's like, no, you're an idiot. Went to college and then I not that I turned into kind of like a sorority slut, but then I started not dressing like I was a hippie. Okay. I'm like, oh, I like dressing like a slut way better. This is way more fun.
Right.
Way more fun. Absolutely. And then I remember I ran into a guy from high school and he's like, you've changed. And I'm like, oh, because I'm hot now? Yeah, fuck you. Because I used to just be kind of, I would dress like this every day in high school, kind of. But it would be like really fucking hot outside, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't like my arms because I had these like sun splotches on them. Like it was like skin discoloration. I went to the doctor for it. The doctor's like, you're fucking fine. You're just gross. I'm like, okay, well. As long as it's not cancer, I guess. Did you ever have that? You know, when I went through puberty?
No, like, I never had fucking
skin discoloration. I'll kind of show you guys. You can kind of see, like, I mean, you can't, I don't know, you can't really see it now, but they would be like white patches and they'd be kind of like bumpy. I'd like arm herpes. I don't know. Did you never have that? Do you know what I'm talking about? Is that not normal? I went to the doctor. He said it was fine. No? You're looking at me like I have leprosy.
Well, yeah, I'm going to stay away from you
now. Yeah, no,
what the
like,
fuck?
Kind of see it now, but it's more, you know, from the sun. But going through puberty, I'd get like, I'd have like a big white splotch right here. There's pictures of me like in dance, and I got fucking white splotches all over the place. So I didn't really like that. I, you know, as a teenager, you're not really fond of your body. You're finding things wrong with it all the time. So I would just wear like sweatshirt all the time. And then
you cover up your fucking gross, spotted up fucking body.
Yeah. And then I got to college, and then I got into evolutionary psychology, which really transformed my life, not just because I studied it in grad school and dropped out, not because of that, but in the game of like dating and mating, it was such a game changer. True, I read The Evolution of Desire by David Buss, and it's a scientific tale. Basically, I mean, there were lots of things in there for sure about what women want, what men want, but it was like, dude, if you want a hot mate, you gotta be hot.
Really?
Personality's not gonna be enough, sweetheart. And
or
I went, oh, fuck.
Rich.
Well, I'm talking about as a female. Guys don't give a fuck if you have money.
No, I wouldn't say that, but it's not anywhere near the same as the other way around.
No,
yes.
They don't care. They did a study where, like, so they had a guy dressed the same in a sweatshirt, like whatever, same outfit. That was, this, you know, they kept it the same. And he was standing like in front of like a beater, you know, shitty car, you know, a middle of the range car, whatever, like okay. a decent sedan or whatever. And then in front of like a hot sports car.
Okay.
I mean, I'm pretty sure like it was the exact same picture photoshopped behind him or different cars to make sure that everything is the same.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked women to rate these different pictures.
Sure.
And of course, they rate the one with the sports car as the most attractive.
Of course.
That guy's the most attractive.
Yeah.
They kind of did the same thing with men. They had young men look at a girl, a woman, dressed, you know, it would be the same person dressed either in like a Burger King outfit. Now, think about similar coverage. So it's not like her tits are out of one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like either in a Burger King outfit or, you know, maybe she works in a corporate job or she has like a power suit on.
Mm-hmm.
Guys did not care. If the chick was hot, the chick was hot. They're like, look at her face. They look at her body.
Yeah.
Did they like what they see? It didn't matter. If there was a chick who was not as hot and she was in a power suit, they didn't care. They voted the girl who worked for Burger King as hotter just based on her looks alone. Mm-hmm. Didn't matter what she was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
So status and money, I don't want to say it doesn't matter at all, but it matters way less.
Sure.
Way fucking less. And that was very freeing to learn as a female. I'm like, okay, I could be a total failure, but as long as my ass is popping, I think I should be okay.
Pretty much.
You know? But I remember reading that book. The first one was Survival of the Prettiest.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of a sad tale because it just detailed all of the benefits that you get when you're physically attractive.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start to ask yourself, like, oh, am I responding like an ugly person? Because I remember reading this one study where they said that uglier people had a lot more patience. So, like, if an attractive...
You put up with more shit.
If an attractive person is made to wait, like it was for an interview or something,
mm-hmm.
like they wanted a job, and they were made to wait, like, more than 3 minutes, they just fucking left. They're like, this is bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Or they said, you know, people who were not as... scored as not as attractive waited for, like, an hour and a half. And I went, fuck! I'm pretty patient.
You're like, God damn, it's been 3 hours. What does that say about me?
I'm pretty fucking patient and willing to wait.
Mm-hmm.
Because better looking people expect better service because they're just used to it.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm hot. You need to cater to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of like, not that that threw me into a spiral of psychosis when it came to diet and exercise, because I was already on that track.
Sure.
But that definitely accelerated mm-hmm. it. I went, oh, so if I want the hot guy, I can't just, you don't complain about not having it. You don't say that he's wrong because he's judging me for the way that I look. I'm like, you just learn the game and you play it well.
Of course.
And as an 18-year-old, that was really powerful. I'm like, and I, not that I would tell my friends like they didn't already know, but I'm like, dude, stop. It's like, stop complaining. Just go get hot. Let's go get hot now. So I did.
They're like, yeah, we have been since we're 13, bitch. Where the fuck were you?
I know. But my friends, like, my friends were kind of like mid-range, you know, like girl next door, kind of attractive girls, not super hot. But I really wanted to step up my game. In my third year of college, I lived in a house. There was 9 of us total. And everybody, I'm going to exclude myself, but I'll say everybody else minus one. Ashley wasn't great. But everybody else was like a dime piece.
Hmm.
And at first I thought it was intimidating, but then as I started kind of dressing up more and kind of showcasing my best assets, I felt like this is my fucking tribe. We're the hot chicks. Let's go. And they weren't sorority chicks, which was great. One of them was she was a psycho. She was like half Mexican, half Persian.
Oh, gross.
And she would fucking, I mean, the first week we lived together, she's like, I just got in this fight and I just like kicked this girl in the face with my heels.
The fuck?
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I'm like, oh, you could. And she was in my room. She was my roommate. I'm like, oh, well, I'm not going to piss off Eliza. Now she has like 4 kids. It's so funny to see that. And I'm like, bitch, I remember when I was helping you get cum out of your hair and now you're a mother. That's so weird. That happened to you, but I know who you really are. I remember.
Getting cum out of her hair. Of course she's going to be a fucking mother.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's bound to get in the right hole at some point.
Right.
You know?
They're swimmers.
81390 Bubba. But I don't think that it's appropriate to ask someone why they don't drink, unless you yourself are drunk, which I've done at a holiday party or two. And I'm like,
you think
hey,
it's appropriate to ask them why they don't drink?
Maybe in a more personal setting, but there was like a few people around and she's like, I don't drink. But then when you say I don't drink, you're almost inviting people to ask you why.
Yeah, I kind of agree.
You know, because then I looked at her and I'm like, oh shit, she's got a past. She's got a history.
Yeah.
It's funny though, but within the girls in my Brazilian jiu-jitsu, there's a little bit of a click, two different clicks.
Mm-hmm.
One between the people who are about 30 plus, and then there's a couple girls who are in their early 20s, and it is very hard to relate to them. And I remember I get there usually like 5 minutes before class, and the girl who doesn't drink, I guess the 20-year-olds were talking and yapping, and they walk out, and she goes, I can't. I always get here early, and they're always here, and it's... I just can't stand them, basically.
So the girl that doesn't drink is in the 30-plus club?
She's, 32.
Okay.
And so I go, I know, they're young. They're young. And I said to one of them who's 20, was talking about, I said, blah, blah. And you could tell she's super young. She's a Hoosier. She just moved from Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And she's talking, and this was a couple weeks ago, and she goes, so that's my fiance. And I, like, flashed a look at her. And I went, hey! How old are you, if I may ask? She goes, I'm 20. And I go, psh, I make a fucking judgmental ass, gasp or something. And then I just looked at her and I go, listen, I support you. Like, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But I just kind of, like, laughed. And come to realize a lot of the girls in their 30s in my class have been married, divorced, on their second marriage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, married a much older guy.
I had the same conversation with some people yesterday.
Yeah, about
so one of them was in the military, and they were talking about how, like everybody they're in the military with is on like their second or third wife, if not more, like in their late 20s.
Really? Because they start so young.
Mm-hmm.
I think after your second marriage, if that doesn't work out, you need to stop.
Change the way you play the game, maybe?
Yeah, and that doesn't mean you can't find love, but like why is marriage the end game? And I know I talk about this a lot, but it's I feel like everything that was important to me or a goal is I'm really unraveling as to like why is that important? And then I realize it's not. Same with, and I know this is crazy, and I know this goes against everything Kevin Hazlett is all about, but with like owning a home or owning your home. And obviously in terms of, you know, to make money. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get that. I get that. But in terms of, forget about even Kevin Hayes. He's doing it for money because he's looking not to just purchase the home he lives in, obviously. But when you hear people say, you know, I want to get married, have kids, own a home. It's like, why are these goals? And why is that even important? I get the kids thing, actually. I understand that because being a parent is a job. But like being married isn't necessary to have children. And why is also like owning a home, like why is that such a goal? Here's the thing. I get if you want to accumulate assets to pass on to your kids, that makes sense.
Okay.
But for someone who doesn't want kids, I'm like, but if I said to myself recently, I'm like, if I never own a home, does that mean I'm a failure? Like, did I fail life?
No, but like owning a home is that way. Anything you do to it is like an investment to you. You're not like throwing money away.
Yeah, I understand that much. But in terms of like,
and just like pride on, it's like something you can say like, this is mine.
I own this.
Yeah, like this is mine.
Yeah, but I feel like I've been spending a lot of time recently unraveling the things that I thought were important. And I go, well, why are these like societal goals that we have, you know, like landmarks, marriage, children, owning a home. I'm trying to think of a few others, but like, why are these?
And they're just all things you can own.
Yeah. A spouse, a child, a home.
Of course.
Like, why are these things goals and are they even mine? Like, why did I claim them as my own? I don't even know if I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying I wouldn't want to own a home, sure. But if I don't, like, I'm not going to drive myself crazy thinking, you know, by 40, I don't own a home. I suck. Like, whatever. Because I'm really having a different outlook on life, I think, as of lately, the last few years, certainly, about like what my goals used to be more career oriented, you know, like I want to accomplish this and I want to accomplish that. And if I want to be making this much at this age and, you know, that sort of thing. And now I've taken a step back and I go, no, that's wrong. The point is to try to suck every ounce of joy out of every moment. Every day isn't going to be an amazing day.
Right.
But the goal should be enjoying the brief time that you have on the planet. Not worrying about if you hit this goal at this time.
Yeah.
And I understand that, you know, you want to try to merge the two where you're enjoying the rush of the journey. And part of that is, you know, setting goals and accomplishing them. Sure, that's no problem. But the goal shouldn't be accomplishing the stuff. It's the joy that it brings you, right? Like, I feel like we don't really reiterate that. Like, happiness and fulfillment really aren't on the docket. It's like, get married, have kids, own a home. It's like, what about it, enjoying
but see, to
it?
You, so to you, you don't like those because all three of the things kind of tie you down. And that scares you. Even owning a home, because you can sell it, but it's a lot harder to sell a house than it is to just move after you're done renting. And that's you're kind of like anti that, like things that tie you down.
Yeah, yes, maybe. I don't think owning a home would scare me. And the thing is, it's not like I'm commitment phobic in terms of like a relationship necessarily, but things that have like a finality to it do scare me.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially having a child, probably that's the big one.
Well, yeah, because you can get a divorce. You can
kill
the
kid.
I mean, I guess you can like give the kid up for adoption, but I mean,
you can't do that when they're like six.
You can, but yeah.
I mean, that's a bad look. I'll probably want to keep it. But yeah.
Hey, Anna, what happened to that 6-year-old you had? You know what?
Over it.
It wasn't for me.
No, thanks.
Yeah.
No, it's like a job you tried out. And it's funny because you think about other types of jobs that people have. You're like, listen, I was a doctor for 10 years and, you know, now I own my own business. But you can't say that about being a mom or a dad. Like, listen, I tried it for a good 7. Yeah. I really gave it the old college try.
I really put in some good years, but just not for me.
Kids suck. I don't know. I mean, I got a bad one. Maybe try again. Mm-hmm. Not great.
Look, the first two weren't too bad, but when I had the third one, I was like, you know what? I need to give these kids up.
Would not recommend.
Yeah.
Would not recommend. And I'm sure there are people that feel that way. And it's one of those things where you always want what you can't have. I get that much. You know, when you don't have a child, you're just like, all I want is a family and stability. And then you have the kid and you talk to people that have kids and all they fucking do is reminisce about when they didn't have kids and when they weren't married. And so grass is always greener.
I'll say again, because they wanted what they didn't have. And then once they got it, they wanted what they didn't have.
And that's bringing me perfectly into my new thing that I'm into, which I will tell you about after the break, because we do have to take a break.
I'm happy because I don't want nothing.
I'll be back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
We are back. Thanks for your patience. So I will tell you about my my new thing, and I feel like I'm going to get a lot of eye rolls because I pretty much eye rolled myself. If this was me even just like maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, I would have been like, shut up, Anna. Shut the fuck up. But it's meditation.
A certain type or just in general?
I don't know. Here's the thing. I don't really know much about it, but my OCD is getting worse. I sometimes find myself in a loop of negative thoughts mm-hmm. about a situation I can't even control, a situation that isn't even in existence, like a possibility. And I'm like, I'm running over just the gamut of things that could happen if this were to happen, if I was late to this and this person hated me and whatever the case may be. And I'm like, this can't be healthy. And I've heard people say meditation is great. Meditation. I was like, shut up. It's like yoga for your brain. I don't want to fucking hear about it. I'm over yoga. But I started kind of investigating it, not so much from a spiritual standpoint, mm-hmm. not because I'm trying to get closer to God, because that's not a thing, but more from a well-being, trying to enjoy life the best of my ability sort of a perspective. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's one of my boyfriends. His name is Sam Harris.
Right.
He is a neuroscientist by trade, I guess. He's an author, I guess, mostly does a lot of work with philosophy and religion. Mm-hmm. And you know who really put Sam Harris on the map was Ben Affleck. Because Sam Harris went on, I think it was Bill Maher.
Okay.
And they were talking about Islam. This was probably like 10 years ago. And he was like, you know, some religions are better than others at dealing with morality. And Ben Affleck fucking went off the deep end. And it actually really helped Sam Harris's career. I'm going to actually find that clip because it's a good one. Let me see if I can find it. Ben Affleck, Sam Harris. And he gets like super mad. Let's see. It's got to be it. I think this is very long. This side, right?
Yep.
Liberals need to stand up for liberal principles. This is what I said on last week's show. Obviously,
full screen
for it. But all I'm saying is that liberal principles like freedom of speech, freedom to practice any religion you want without fear of violence, freedom to leave a religion, equality for women, equality for minorities, including homosexuals. These are liberal principles that liberals applaud for. But then when you say, in the Muslim world, this is what's lacking, then they get upset.
Yeah, yeah. Well, liberals...
Now, Sam Harris, I did not understand the extent to which he has practiced meditation. Sam Harris is a very well-respected intellectual by everyone who knows him.
Okay.
But what I like about Sam Harris is he is a very ardent atheist. He has also done a ton of practicing when it comes to meditation. He's done up to, I think it was 3 months, silent retreats in like Nepal, working with Buddhist monks and Hindu monks. I don't know what you'd call them. But learning how to try to, like, up to 18 hours a day of just silent meditation, not reading, not writing, not doing anything, just meditating all day long. But he's doing it as an atheist, which is pretty unusual. Those two things don't usually hang together. Atheists are known for being skeptics and cynics and not really delving into the arena of, you know, anything spiritual or connecting to the body. It seems to be very cut and dry. Usually the people that are the ones that are meditating and having those similar experiences are the ones who are, you know, pretty dogmatic when it comes to religion. Mm-hmm. So that's why Sam Harris is kind of like has this unique pairing. And I feel like he's really come into popularity, not a lot of because of his God stuff, but because of the criticisms he had on Islam that drove people like Ben Affleck crazy. So we'll get back to the video.
Have really failed on the topic of theocracy. They'll criticize white theocracy. They'll criticize right. Christians. They'll still get agitated over the abortion clinic bombing that happened in 1984. But when you want to talk about the treatment of women and homosexuals and free thinkers and public intellectuals in the Muslim world, I would argue that liberals have failed us. And the crucial point of confusion...
See how scared people were to clap for that?
Of course.
Yeah, he's like saying some religions, or at least give everybody a fair crack when it comes to criticism. Like he said, if you're willing to criticize Christians, you should be also willing to criticize Muslims and what they might not be doing great.
Well, thank you.
Thank God you're here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the crucial point of confusion is that we have been sold this meme of Islamophobia, where every criticism of the doctrine of Islam gets conflated with bigotry toward Muslims as people.
Right.
And that is it's intellectually ridiculous. Even it gets
so hold on. Are you the person who understands the officially codified doctrine of Islam?
Now, here's the thing that Ben Affleck doesn't know about Sam Harris is that even though he's an atheist, he has read the Bible cover to cover. He's read the Torah cover to cover. He's studied the Quran extensively. He's going to start reciting, sure. You know, proverbs and books and things like that because he knows he doesn't come to the table, you know, not prepared to go to battle.
Mm-hmm. You're the interpreter
I'm actually well educated on this topic.
I'm asking you. You're saying that Islamophobia is not a real thing. That if you're critical of something.
Well, it's not a real thing when we do it.
Right.
Isn't. I'm not denying that certain people are bigoted against Muslims as people. That's a problem.
Big of you.
But
why are you so hostile about this?
It's gross. It's racist.
It's so not
shifty Jew.
You're not listening what we are saying.
You guys are saying, if you want to be liberals, believe in liberal principles like freedom of speech, you know, we are endowed by our forefathers with inalienable rights, like all men are created equal.
Ben, we have to be able to criticize bad ideas.
And of course we do. No liberal doesn't want to criticize bad ideas.
But Islam is the mother load of bad ideas.
Jesus.
So we have
that's just a fact.
Like blasphemy.
It's an ugly apostasy.
It is one basic liberal principle of tolerance.
Let me unpack it.
Now, keep in mind that this was like 10 years ago. Like, could you imagine if he said this now?
Oh, yeah.
Be crucified.
Tolerance.
No, of course not. But the picture you're painting is to some extent true, but is hugely incomplete. It is certainly true that plenty of fanatics and jihadis are Muslim. But the people who are standing up to them, Malala, incredible Muhammad Ali Dadak in Iran, in prison for 9 years for speaking up for Christians. A friend that I had in Pakistan who was...
Here's the thing that I always... I don't really follow the logic of this, but I've often heard people say, well, you know, if Sam Harris... I'm using him as an example, obviously. Mm-hmm. If Sam Harris says things that can be interpreted as racist, then he shouldn't say them because they're racist. You know what I mean? So if he's giving credence to people who are part of the Ku Klux Klan who hate Muslims, then he shouldn't say it because they will be interpreted as being racist because people will misunderstand what he's saying, which to me is, I don't follow that logic at all. Like, you're at fault for how people take it.
Yeah. It's not your fault, but sometimes you just got to like suck it up, though, and not say something because of the way other people are going to think about it.
Yeah, but no. But no, like I'm so glad that someone like him, Sam Harris, exists because he's able to call things out in a very calm way. And I've been watching Sam Harris probably for about 10, 15 years now. I've never once seen the man get upset, start yelling, lose his cool. And I imagine that's because he's put so many, like 30 years into practicing meditation. That's probably why he's able to stay so calm under such tense conditions.
That and he takes Xanax like crazy.
Oh, right. That too.
Shot this year, Rashid Rahman, for defending people accused of apostasy. But
Nick, or how about the more than a billion people those who aren't Muslim fanatical, too. Who don't punish women, who just want to go to school?
Okay, wait a second.
Wait a second.
No, let's get down to who has the right answer.
All right, as you can see, but this was really great because this really catapulted Sam Harris's career because Ben Affleck, who was a much bigger name at the time and probably still is, went after him pretty hard. If you don't know who Sam Harris is, I would definitely take some time to check it out. Yeah, did you know who he was? Are you familiar with what he does and what he's all about?
Oh, yeah, and mainly because you've talked about him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't really know like a lot about him. And that, like some of the people I follow on YouTube have talked about him or he's been on their shows and stuff.
Yeah,
but I don't follow him directly, but...
Uh-huh.
I mean, I know who he is. Yeah, ears.
Oddly enough, in the evolutionary psychology circles that I once used to roam around in, he was, and this is, you know, kind of an unusual way to speak about him, he was really kind of referred to as a god. Like, he was like our leader sort of a thing among the people who, you know, were atheists, who believed in, you know, evolutionary biology and things like that. He was kind of revered as like the end-all be-all. You know, he really carved a niche for himself I feel like a lot of people were craving and that didn't have anybody to really look up to, especially after Christopher Hitchens died, unfortunately.
The British man, right?
Yes. Yeah. He was pretty great. He was actually the one I remember. I have a vivid memory telling my dad I was living in Michigan, probably maybe 2012 or something like that. And my dad and I were having a discussion about circumcision.
Okay.
And I just said, it's not no good. And my dad was like, what the fuck? Like, you can't say that. Mm-hmm. Why would you say that? That's disgusting.
Yeah,
blah, blah,
no
blah.
Kid wants an anteater.
Right. All this sort of stuff. I'm like, dad, listen. He goes, it's uncleanly. It's unhygienic. How could you say that? And, you know, you're part of the Jewish faith and da, 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 da.
Right.
I sent him. I couldn't get my point across. He wasn't willing to listen to me. I sent him
You're a girl.
Right. I sent him one Christopher Hitchens clip. Not only did that, was that the catalyst for him no longer believing circumcision was a good idea, that was the catalyst for his atheism as well. Because that video led to another video, led to another video. And before I knew it, my dad was coming harder at me with the whole atheist thing. It's been a very interesting experience being raised a certain religion, like lightly by my parents, and then coming back and re-raising them, being like, actually, you got it wrong.
Mm.
It is a little sad to me when I think about being Jewish, when I think about that my people, you know, have the traditions of my people have survived 6,000 years.
Okay.
And it ends with me. Like that, it seems like.
It really doesn't, though.
In my my lineage, the lineage that led to me, it will.
You think so?
Yeah. First of all, I'm probably not going to have kids. And if I did, I would not raise them to be Jewish. I would not raise them. I would show them like where they were from, but we would not be going to synagogue. We would not be going to church. We would not be going to a mosque. We wouldn't be going anywhere at all.
A hall? A hall?
A hall?
Yeah. Kingdom Hall?
I don't know what that is.
Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, is that what they call it?
Yeah.
No, definitely not. But, you know, and I used to think, like, how could I not raise my kids Jewish? That would be terrible. They wouldn't know where they came from. And it's like, I don't know. I just don't think that it's not that important to me. And I don't think that it's really helpful in the way that I view the world anymore. It's not really helpful in terms of logical thinking, critical thinking, things of that nature. You know, there's different ways to build community. It doesn't just have to be about religion and your origin, because even though those things to me, they seem to matter, they're really surface level things. It's like the people that I would go to synagogue with, we just all happened to be born, like the people in my class that were my age, we all just happened to be born in Jewish families.
Mm-hmm.
Like you might go, well, that's the cultural thing. And there's a lot, yes, but also like some of us liked sports. Some of us liked reading books. Some of us like, you know, there's so many differences. You would think that you would collectively want to
but it's
build
like
a community around your interests.
But it's like any club kind of thing is, you know, you all have that one thing in common,
right.
And then you all also have a bunch of different things, and that's kind of how, like, you know, you get your people at synagogue to start doing the dance, or you start doing the whatever club, or flying RC planes, or, you know, model trains, or whatever.
And it's a good way to connect with business. Jesus fucking Christ.
Well, yeah, but
the amount of dollars that were rolling in, and I went to a synagogue in a little place called Encinitas, California.
Okay.
And boy, is it ritzy.
I'm sure.
It is. And let me tell you, the money that was rolling in, I mean, you saw 16-year-olds come into synagogue with a Mercedes Benz and a Bentley. I mean, this is their first car.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of people with massive businesses that were giving tons of money to the synagogue. And it was funny. Like, I remember this happening and my dad telling me about it. And it was like the first time I realized corruption infiltrates everywhere, God's house or not.
Well, it starts there most of the time.
Very true. But as a young person, you think that, you know, oh, yeah, churches are good and synagogues are good. Or at least you think my place is good, right?
Right.
My place is clean. The place that I attend isn't dirty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it fucking was.
My pastor doesn't touch kids.
Well, I don't think anyone was Priest. Touching kids. Although the cantor, so like the singer person, the like lead that sings the song, she had a great voice. Her name is Kathy. Kathy got fucked by one of the guys who was like teaching Sunday school.
Okay.
And got pregnant. And she was full blown pregnant, not married, in a synagogue singing some songs. And that was a big scandal.
Okay.
You can't be rolling around being all like religious and shit with a baby out of wedlock. I mean, again, I don't care about that sort of shit, but it's a bad look.
Right.
If you're like marriage and poor and kids, this, that, and the other, whatever. Anyways, I remember there was some fucking punk ass like 12-year-old boy, and he thought it would be a funny prank if he dropped a bunch of oil, like cooking oil, in the kitchen.
Okay.
To like, so someone would slip.
Oh yeah.
And
that's
an older
hilarious.
Woman did, and she walked into the kitchen and like she fell on her back and she really fucking hurt herself.
Yeah.
And my dad was a teacher at the time. He was teaching like Israeli history.
Okay.
And he heard some of the kids like talking and he's like, what's going on? And he found out what happened and who did it.
Mm-hmm.
The kids were like, oh, it was fucking Josh or whatever.
Right, right, right.
And my dad was like, well, fuck that little punk. Goes to, you know, the board of directors or whatever and talks to this woman. He's like, hey, listen, I know who did that. And that, and I think the woman needed surgery. Like, she was in the hospital.
Okay.
She fucked herself up really bad. I mean, you walk on like a slick tile floor with a bunch of oil, you're going to fuck yourself up.
I can't wait to hear who Josh's dad is.
Yeah. Well, it turns out Josh's family gave a lot of money to the synagogue.
Oh.
And the woman who was like the head of the administration just told my dad, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah. You didn't see or hear anything. Josh didn't do shit.
La, 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 la.
Right.
And my dad was like, are you kidding me? I'm like, he's like, that woman is in the hospital because this kid did that. You're not going to even punish him? Or she's like, yeah, his dad paid for the library.
Papa Hummel, it's Josh who?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
Bitch.
Have a good day.
Exactly. So, I mean, money talks. And
fuck
even even when you work in the God business, it don't fucking matter.
And you don't think fucking Josh knew that?
Of course he did.
Yeah.
That's why rich kids are the sons and daughters and babies of rich parents are the fucking worst.
Mm-hmm.
They think they can do whatever they want.
That's
because
like
they haven't.
When there's like a really rich parent and they have like a normal kid, you're like, wow, that kid turned out really normal. And it's
everyone's
like,
very surprised.
What the fuck? Like, yeah,
how did that
happen? Why are you celebrating someone who turned out normal?
Yeah. Well, it's very surprising because usually
they're
given everything that they want. They don't understand the value of the dollar, hard work. Sharing is not something that they've even registered or even considered at all. They're just not very grounded people.
Yeah. So one of my bosses, he had three kids and two of them like walked all over him, fucking like wasted and spent all his money. They were like wrecking cars left and right. And of course, daddy was like, oh, well, you know, they hit a bump and the car flipped. I'm like, yeah, for the fourth time this fucking month. Like, what the fuck? Well, the one kid like didn't do that. The older kid. And we're like, it took us a while to figure out why. It wasn't actually his kid. It was his wife's kid.
Ah.
So he like married it, you know,
married
whatever.
Up. Yeah.
We're like, okay, well, we were kind of wondering why that kid didn't treat the dad like shit, like all the other, like the other two kids did.
Yeah.
Those other two kids fucking just, they will not turn out normal.
Yeah. And not only do they become shitheads, but what I found is that children of rich parents, they, not always, but often, are very unmotivated.
Oh, yeah. They didn't do shit.
Very unmotivated.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I have these people as friends.
That are in their 30s?
Yeah, yeah. One of my good friends actually dated a man who, while she dated him, which was about a year and a half, he never had a job. Never had a job. He had a job. I knew him first. He had a job. He got laid off. And I remember talking to him about it. Mm-hmm. And he goes, I'm going to start looking for a new job in 30 days.
Oh, yeah. Well, right.
I was like, hold on, what? You're gonna start looking in 30 days. I was like, why don't you start looking now and hopefully in 30 days you find a job? He goes, no, I got weed to smoke and chocolate covered pretzels to eat, so I'm not gonna do that.
Fair enough.
He had shit to do.
White chocolate or dark chocolate?
Dark. Milk chocolate.
The worst of the three.
That's the best. So he, you know, met my friend. They started dating, mm-hmm. and he didn't do jack shit for a year and a half. And the reason why she broke up with him was because he was a how you say a loser. It was really funny. She was talking to me about it, and it finally occurred to her that her boyfriend was a loser. And it's one of those things where, listen, much like my daddy told me, you don't mess it with other people's business. You don't give anybody any advice that they're not asking for. You don't tell anybody the truth that they're not asking for. But oftentimes when you can kind of lead, you can lead the witness to a point where they start saying these things out loud themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We got together, and she goes, I think, and she's talking about her boyfriend, I think so-and-so is a, he's a loser, isn't he? That's what she said to me.
Okay.
He's a loser. Like, she said it out loud.
Yeah. She didn't even say, like, he's not motivated. She just said straight up, he's a fucking loser.
Well, she had been saying he wasn't motivated for a year and a half.
Oh, okay.
So finally, she has kind of got through the bullshit of, like, he's a good person, like, all that other crap that gets in the way. Right. He was a good guy.
All the lies.
Right, and it occurred, and I remember she said out loud, she paused and she goes, he's a loser, isn't he? And I go, you said it.
Right.
And I wanted to be like, I even said, I mean, I'm not going to tell you that, but yeah, I mean, I knew this whole time, because I didn't fall in love with the kid.
Mm-hmm.
I had, you know, my vision was clear as day that this kid was not going anywhere, mm-hmm. not motivated. Nice guy, great person. Like, not a spoiled brat, but just not motivated. His parents crippled him. And this guy was older than me. He was probably, at the time, probably 33, 34. And now he's like 37 or something. Okay. And she said it out loud that he was a loser. And I think the next day or the 2 days later, she went over and broke up with him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where once people say it out loud and you breathe life into it.
Yep.
Then you have, especially not only when you breathe life into it to yourself, but to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
start connecting those dots, you go, fuck. And that is probably the worst thing about being the parent of a rich kid. And Gary Vee talks about this all the time. He goes, people that have, you know, that they're rich and they have children, he goes, I feel sorry for those people. And everyone's like, what? Why? They have everything they need. He goes, those people are not hungry. They don't want to fight. They are not going to be creating anything cool because they have everything. They have nothing. They have everything to lose and nothing to gain. Well, people who are poor have everything to gain and nothing to lose.
Yeah, the worst are the ones that are just rich enough to be rich, where they have money, like they're okay. But like, you know, once you're like multi millionaire rich, then who cares? Like, the kids don't need to work. You know, I get it. It's not great.
Yeah, but it's also like, do you want to, are you trying to raise a fucking douchebag that's not contributing anything and just becomes addicted to opiates?
Of course. But the worst is the people who are barely rich. They have their kids that act like they're super rich.
Yeah.
They get to be adults and the parents are like, okay, well, you need to go get a job because I can't fucking afford to pay for everything.
Right.
And then they're fucked.
Yeah. I like what Shaq said. He goes, I'm rich. My kids aren't rich.
Yeah.
I'm rich. But again, feel like but they live in his home. Like, yeah, you know.
Like, he doesn't fucking buy him all kinds of shit. Please.
Right, exactly. You know, like,
but
maybe he makes some work.
Though. Like, if you are rich, you don't treat your kids like you're poor. Like, you should buy them shit, man. Fuck that.
I don't know. I don't think I even really believe that. I don't think you need to treat them like they're rich. You can, you know, you don't have to spoil them senseless.
No. But, like, buy them nice shit, man. Who cares?
I don't know.
Not all the time. Like, make them work for, like, you know, hey, you got chores. And, you know, look, you take out the trash for that week, I'll get you a new Bentley.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like you were saying, like, who fucking cares, because they're going to have endless money all the time. But it's not just about the money. It's about living a meaningful life. And if you are just bored all... That's why so many of these, like, Hollywood celebs' kids, why they all get into drugs and shit, because they just want to feel something.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing excites them. I talk about this all the time, and everyone's like, you're crazy. I don't want to win the lottery. I don't want to have so much money where it's just like, fuck you, I can do whatever I want, and I never have to worry about anything again, because that leads to a very boring and unfulfilling life. There's nothing to fight for anymore. I like the struggle. The struggle is the devil I know. I don't know what it's like to just sit at home all day and fucking do jack shit.
I mean, I'd be willing to win the lotto and find out, though.
Not me. I don't want it. No,
hey, look, when I'm 90 and run out of money, I'll be like, oh, Anna was right. But I'll tell you what, those fucking, you know, those few decades were awesome when I was rich.
Yeah, but I mean, at a certain point, like, for people who are struggling with money where they can't provide for their family or the basic needs aren't met, obviously money's a stressor, no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But after a certain point, and they've done study after study about this, once your basic needs are met and you can kind of go on a few vacations a year and take care of yourself, having more money doesn't make you happier. Like, they've shown that, like, at a certain point, and you can't really say, like, at this amount, because each person has a different, you know, if you have three kids versus no kids, you know, obviously you have different sort of responsibilities financially. But at the point where you're comfortable, like, well off, so from, like, $500,000 to, like, $750,000 is not going to make you much happier.
Right.
And the more you make, the less incremental happiness you get. You know, and the more you need to feel that, like, that rush of, like, fuck yeah, money.
Yeah, because, like, you know, right now, if I bought a $100,000 car, I'd be like, holy shit. But, like, if you're really rich, you're like, fucking, who's a fucking $100,000 car? Why would I want this piece of shit? So then you're into, like, the $3-5 million cars to get that same rush.
Isn't it sad how quickly that rush subsides?
Oh, yeah.
Like, it really fucking does. And I'm not that I have anything worth value at all, because I don't. And during a hurricane, it's the best to be poor, because everyone's like, oh, my yacht. And you're like, ha ha, fucker. I got a Toyota Camry and that's all I got. And
poor
if it, you
Gus.
Know, it's fine. Like, I love Gus and he's a great car. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, not the end all be all.
Mm-hmm.
But when people are like, what about my mansion and my 16 cars and my yacht? And I'm like, ha ha, fucker.
It's called insurance, motherfucker.
I know, but nevertheless, you still have to, it's a big fucking mess you have to deal with, you know, if things go wrong.
Pay someone to deal
with it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But you understand, like, worrying about stuff. But, where is it going with that? But yeah, being poor is very, it's very relaxing during times of stress when there's a natural disaster on its way. Damn it, I was going to say something else. I forgot what
Gary Vee. But I completely disagree with you. I'd much rather be rich and deal with that than be poor.
Well, how poor are we talking? Like, are we talking where we're, like, homeless poor, third world country poor, or, like, poor enough where you have, like, a fire under your ass where you're like, let's fucking go?
Yeah, there's different levels. And actually, the funny thing is, the poorer you are, like, once you get to, like, homeless status, you can almost be like, fuck it, I don't care. Because people who are homeless, for the most part, just they fuck it, I don't care. Like, who cares?
Yeah, I definitely know. I know what you mean. I remember I used to watch, it wasn't like My 600 Pound Life, but it was like a show similar to that on TLC. I forgot what it was.
1,000 Pound Sisters?
Yeah, maybe something like that. And also, I had a roommate actually in college who was ginormous.
Okay.
She was maybe 5 feet tall.
Oh.
And let's say at her heaviest, she was probably like 220, 230.
Mm-hmm.
She's a big girl. I used to, and we were roommates. We lived in the same room. And sometimes she'd leave her bras out and I'd like put them on as a shirt and like walk downstairs. And she's like, what the fuck are you doing? I'm like, wearing your bra as a shirt.
Jesus Christ.
And I remember she would just eat whatever the fuck she wanted. And she didn't care. And at a certain point, it was almost like liberating.
Yeah.
Like I was like, she was so far gone that there was no turning back, that she's just like, what the I don't even care. And I'm like, that is really cool. Because when you're on the cusp of being hot, like maybe you're 20 pounds away from it, 30 pounds, that's a significant amount. You're like, all right, I need to get hot because I'm starting to look whatever. But for her, she was she needed to lose like 150 pounds
to even like even start
to even look start looking normal. So I'm just like, God, I kind of am weirdly envious of the lack of just the mental freedom. I'm counting at every calorie or, you know, beating myself up over something I ate, and she never experienced that. Now she did turn it around. She did lose a shit ton of weight. And yeah, I saw her. I've seen pictures recently. And she looks, she's in the, she is now in the realm of normal.
Okay.
She did get divorced.
Okay.
Maybe that was what did it. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure. But she looks great now. And Beth, I love you.
Well, it's like, you know, I when on my drive to work every morning, I drive by a bunch of homeless people because I live in the ghetto. And I'm kind of like envious. I'm like, you know, I got to get up early and like shower and brush my teeth and go to a job. And these fuckers are just sleeping there on the side of the road. I'm like, how nice must that be?
To not have any commitments.
No.
You're never late for anything. You got to hang out with your buddies all day.
Yeah, just they probably make more money than I do.
just on the side of the road.
I literally sit there at a stoplight. And I, well, of course, I lock my doors and roll my windows up first, you know, and then I sit there and like cars are like handing out $5, $10, $20 bills. I'm like,
how do you
what
know
about me? Because I see them.
You see $20 bills.
So the thing is, you roll your window down, you kind of fold the bill up, not like you fold it up long way so you can hold it out. And they hold it out their window until they come walking by and grab it.
And you see the 20?
Yeah.
That's unreal to me.
I know. I'm like, what about me? Like I go to work like I need the 20.
Mm-hmm.
There's and been, so I get on my car and grab the 20 and say thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Get back in your car and drive away in your car that's nicer than theirs.
Yeah.
That's how that works. Let's take a phone call. Hello, who's this?
What's up, guys? Florida Stanley.
Hey, Florida Stanley. What's up?
Hey, I want to talk about money because Anna's Jewish.
All right, go ahead.
I don't know how far delayed I am. Was that just a recent conversation?
Yeah. We're on it.
Okay. Before I get started on that, I really, really, really hope Gary snipes me, because fuck you, Gary. Go ahead, snipe me. Take me off the phone line. Clear the line, Gary!
Well, it's going to cost $100 to bump you off, so.
We'll take 400 bits.
But, okay, so there's three different thresholds as far as, like, what Anna was kind of referring to as, like, the stress level and making money. There's three different thresholds that I know of, and I've experienced two of them, and my family has experienced all three. So to give you an example, when I was making $50,000 a year, I had almost no stress in my life. I wasn't making a whole lot of money. You know, I had an apartment. I didn't have my own house, but zero stress.
How old were
whatsoever.
You at this point?
This was probably, as soon as 3 years ago.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So pretty recently.
And then... I was making about $50,000 for probably 6 or 7 years.
Okay.
And then I started my own company 3 years ago. Well, now I make about $350,000 a year, and my life is one giant fucking anxiety attack. Let me tell you,
because you have more to lose.
Not fun.
Yeah.
Huh?
Because you have more to lose.
Well, it's not even that. It's just, I think it's because I run a company, and that's just stressful in itself.
Yeah, that's separate.
So
but
even though I'm making 350, a lot of people that don't, you know, that make 50,000, like, oh my God, that'd be amazing to make 350. Well, I mean, it is because
I don't
have to check my bank account before I buy anything. But at the same time, it's so stressful having to
manage
make that
everything.
Money.
Yes.
And then the third threshold is what my uncle has achieved. He makes about $1.5 million a year. And like what Blitz said earlier, he just pays other people to handle all of his business for him.
Sure.
So you're like that mid-level rich where if you can get yourself to the other side.
Not a lot of money and be stress-free. You can make a very comfortable living and always have anxiety attacks. And then you reach the point where my uncle's at, where he's just like, I don't want to deal with this.
Well,
I'll pay you to do it.
Yeah, but you don't include the people who are basically homeless that make nothing. They don't care. And then the people who are probably even more stressful that make the, you know, 20-ish thousand something where, like, they're struggling to pay their bills.
Nah, man, they get free food from the government. They get free phones. They're not stressed.
But the people that make just enough to not get the free shit.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Oh, they're like the cutoff.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, though. You said that you have more anxiety. What about, like, happiness? Would you say you're happier now than you were when you were making 50 grand a year?
No, it's probably about the same, honestly.
Okay. So I mean, you have more stress and equal amount of happiness in many. If I were to do the emotional math, I would say you're losing. But society tells you you're winning. So
yeah,
you're just like,
I've always had a very interesting and happy life. Like I can't imagine that there's anything that could make me more happy. You get what I'm saying? Like I've never been in a unhappy state. It's always just
you're a human being. You've obviously been through hard times and better times, and
yeah, but those come and go, you know,
daily, like the tide. Yeah,
anybody, uh-huh. Yeah, anybody, everybody experiences, you know, ups and downs. But as far as general happiness,
like your general disposition, okay. But now you have a lot more stress. Than you did before.
Yeah, it's a lot more stress. It's, you know, running a company is, Bubba will tell you it's fucking not fun at times.
Yeah, of course. Now, but do you find
especially when you're expanding as quick as you did. I mean, in just 1 year, I tripled my income. So,
that's incredible.
It is incredible, but it's also very stressful. And it's fun, but not, and I'm still happy. I'm not depressed about it, but still happy.
But there's
about
obviously
it.
A reason you're doing it, obviously, you know, for the money, but the highs must be higher and the lows must be lower. I'm imagining to balance it out, right? Because you might be like, fuck, yeah, I just made X amount of dollars today or this week or this year. That's incredible. But then you are, you know, just overwhelmed and ridden with feelings of anxiety because you could lose it all. It's all on your shoulders. You don't have a steady paycheck anymore because you have to, you know, you have to run your own business.
Mine, yeah.
So, and, you know, there's probably a lot of pride that comes along with that makes it worth your while, where you feel really good about yourself and you feel really good about what you're doing and what you're accomplishing.
Yeah, I think once I stopped doing fit, my goal for a while has been to not do any physical labor past 35. I just turned 34 2 weeks ago.
Oh, happy birthday.
And my goal is to not do any physical labor. I own a pressure washing and window cleaning company, so yeah. I still do some of the work. I have employees, but I still do some of the physical labor. And I think once I get to the point where I don't have to do any more of the physical labor, I think that'll take a lot of the anxiety and stress off.
And you can't do that right now?
I'm trying to run a company and do the physical work as well as managing employees.
And you can't do that right now?
I probably could, but I don't want to just yet.
Okay. All right, you
I
said
could
35.
Hire
so you got
somebody
another
to
year.
Take over what I do as far as the physical part, but I don't want to just yet. Next year, like I said, my goal is 35, and that's probably right about the time that I'll actually pull the trigger and do it.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you will accomplish that goal, no problem.
Donkey so. Just cheered 500 bits. Hang up on this idiot.
See you guys.
See
ya. Bye. Do they have some beef or something?
No.
Oh, okay. Hi, who's that? Who's this?
Jason.
Huh?
Jason.
What's up, Jason?
How are we doing, guys?
We're well. How are you doing?
Bubba Army Grunt 214. Bubba Army Grunt 214.
Thank you. I'm awesome. Hey, way off topic, Blitz, but you familiar with Tosh.0?
Yeah, of course. Daniel Tosh.
Episode 86.
Yeah, have you seen episode 86?
I am not familiar with episode 86. Sorry.
Okay, so you need to look up episode 86, the very beginning, first video. Bubba and the vacuum cleaner. It is awesome.
Okay.
It's
featuring
Bubba?
Look it up and razz him. It's all right. Him when he was a kid.
Okay. Thank
right.
you.
I'll look it up.
All right.
Awesome. Have a good day, guys.
All right, man.
You too.
Thanks. See ya.
Bye. I guess we should be kind of wrapping it up by now. I finally pulled the trigger, like Alec Baldwin.
We're no, not he
like
did
Alec
not pull the trigger.
We're not like Alec Baldwin. I'm like, in my head, I was watching that last night. I'm like, what is he suggesting? That he, like, shook it? Like, I didn't understand what he was saying. I'm like, is that a metaphor? Like, he didn't, like, it was his character. Like, I didn't understand. I'm like, what the? And then I felt like a Renaissance woman. I'm like, right. What is that? He said that he was the one that killed her, but he didn't pull the trigger. No, I didn't pull the trigger. Huh?
Yeah.
What?
I mean, technically, there's a few guns. Like, really, if you hit them hard with a hammer or something, like, so hard, they might go off, but.
I was so confused.
I mean, let's get real.
He
did what we call pull the trigger.
But then I'm like, do I need to see this in the context of the full video? You know, are they trying to confuse the listener so that they watch? Probably.
So on a single action revolver, you pull the hammer back first. And once you do that on some of them, you just barely touch a trigger, it'll go off.
Okay, so maybe that's what he was referring to?
I mean, he might in his mind now think, I didn't pull the trigger. I had my finger there and it might have grazed it. You know, he might not,
okay.
You know, but it doesn't take okay. like, it's not like you're pulling back on, boom.
Yeah, it seemed like he made it very clear and definitive that he didn't touch the trigger. And because he said it was a one in a trillion chance. I'm like, is he saying that it just shot off on its own?
Yeah, he's
like,
what a lot of people would call a maroon.
What does that mean?
Yeah, exactly.
A dummy?
Yeah.
A big, fat dum-dum?
Mm-hmm.
I pulled the trigger in terms of going, booking my flight home to California to see my mother.
Oh, nice.
And what I was talking to my mom the other day, and what I realized is it's not that I haven't seen her in 2 years. I haven't seen her in 3 years.
What?
Yeah. I did the math, and she goes, no, it's been 3 years since I've seen you. I go, no fucking way. She goes, yeah. And then she said, whoa, the last time that I saw you, and I was like, yeah, it was in November of 2018.
Oh, there goes that math thing again.
Yeah. I went, oh, fuck. I didn't see you. I thought I went home in 2019, but I now remember I did not go home. And that's where I got confused. And then obviously 2020 last year was a big fucking disaster because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And my mom got open heart surgery. So it's been 3 years, so I'm very, very excited. It's now even more necessary that I go home.
Absolutely.
Because it's been so fucking long, and I feel really bad that, you know, I haven't seen her. But it's also, you know, a two-way street. You have to kind of remind yourself.
It is.
But I definitely need to go home, need to see my mom. But I'm very glad we came to a resolution where I don't have to get the vaccine. And I think with the subsequent months that will unfold, that, you know, what was so funny to me, and I can't remember if we watched it here on the show or if I watched it, you know, on my own time, you know, they interviewed a doctor. He was an Indian man, so everyone is like, yeah, he's legit.
Mm-hmm.
And
Dr. Patel.
It was a Arash Patel, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, of course.
And he said, like, the first question was, do you think, is the vaccine going to be effective against this new Omicron variant? And the guy goes, I don't know. It was actually on the show. I don't know.
Okay.
And then two minutes later, I think Nora O'Donnell was like, well, what's the one thing people can do to protect themselves? He's like, get the vaccine. I went,
right.
What?
Yeah.
He just said it in and out. So it's just, right. It's very crazy. So I think that, you know, more and more people are going to be kind of realizing what's going on. But nevertheless, because... Listen, you have to respect people's boundaries, even when you don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when they say no, you don't rape them, okay? And
depends on
rape
how they
is a
say
metaphor.
No.
Yeah, if my mom, I was like, Mom, do I have to get the vaccine? She's like, no. No. I'm like, okay.
I'll see
no
you
means
in a little
no.
bit. I'll see you in a little bit.
No means yes. She goes, no. My doctor's listening, but come on over.
Yeah.
No, but my mom was like, no.
Sure.
She was like, no. Like, rape, no. Like, this is rape.
Serious face, no.
Yeah. Oh, if you come over, you're raping me with your presence. So I go, okay, shit. Right. I don't want to be a goddamn rapist. So getting the PCR, going to see the mom, spending a week with my dad. A week with my dad. Now, my dad's great. I love my father. But, you know, we're very similar, I'm learning, every day.
Oh, yeah.
More and more.
Similar as in, like...
we're the same fucking person.
You're exactly like
we're
your
the
fucking
same,
dad.
Like, it is frightening. Like, recently, like, we went to lunch a couple weeks ago, okay, before Kevin's Law. Okay, relax, everybody.
Yeah.
And just awaiting the food and me, I can't focus on what you're saying. I'm so hungry. I'm like, look, every time the waiter comes out, I'm like, is that ours? Is that ours?
Is that it? Oh, no, that one has meat
can't
on it. That one's
fucking
not mine.
Focus. And I go, oh, shit. That's my dad coming out. Mm-hmm. I'm my father.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad's like he's very, very hyper. Despite being 66 years old, he really hasn't slowed down at all when it comes to just like going and just very high energy. Very squirrel-like, like me.
Yeah.
Very squirrely.
Sure,
I would
sure.
even say more so. So, yes. And sometimes two people who are very similar sometimes butt heads. Because they're both stubborn or they're both whatever they're negative. The good qualities, you know, maybe mesh well, but sometimes the bad qualities where they both think they're right.
I could see, yeah. Oh, I
sometimes
could see
you
that
butt
for
heads.
Sure.
So, and sometimes there's a little bit of an adjustment period because even though I'm an adult, I know,
what?
Surprising. Even though I mean, adult,
age wise, you are.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Yeah.
Biological
on
age,
paper,
but mental age.
On paper,
I'm an
you're an adult.
Yes, the government knows me as an adult. But when you go home. even though I'm an adult person, I'm still his child. And sometimes parents still treat you like kids because you're their kids.
Right.
And that can be problematic sometimes.
Uh-oh.
But we'll see how we go.
I don't like being told what to do. You're not my father. Oh, wait. Never mind.
Yes, you are. Shit. God damn it. And it makes it a little bit more difficult when you don't have a car. You're like,
you're like a prisoner.
Go to the kitchen or something.
I'm going to walk around the block.
Yeah, fuck you. No, so I'm really excited to see my parents again. And the zero friends I have left. I have literally zero friends. It's going to be great. And it's funny because this is my dad's dream come true. He'd always get mad. I'd come home. I'd be seeing all my buddies, my friends. And over the years, it's dwindled from 12 people to 10 to 7 to 5 to 2 to...
Mm-hmm.
To zero.
That's in 2 weeks and a day.
Yes, the 18th.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then the year is over.
Oh, my.
Then it's 2022. Then I'll be 35. Then I'll be dead.
Yeah, I mean, fucking rest in peace at this point.
Might as well, right?
Yeah.
That's when, then I start giving diseases to my kids if I have them because they got old eggs. They're fucking old.
What the
fuck? Sucks. Anyways, those are the things I think about. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe. Go to the holiday parties.
Hell,
enjoy
yeah.
Yourself. Don't drive drunk. If you do and you get into some problems, call Kevin Hazlett.
Mm-hmm.
Blitz, thank you very much. Blitzy boy.
Thank you.
Gross. Can't believe I said that. Loser. Anyways, have a great weekend, guys. We'll see you on Monday. Bye.